The 12th August of each year is Thailand's National Mother's Day. In many countries around the world, the second Sunday of May is likewise designated as International Mother's Day. This shows that people everywhere place importance on respecting, honoring, and recollecting the kindness of mothers. People of other religions share this same feeling. In Buddhism, this is taught directly by the Buddha as an auspicious blessing in life. A benefactor, a pubakarichana, is someone who has supported us without expecting anything in return. This refers especially to our fathers and mothers who are willing to sacrifice everything for their children. A grateful person, katanyu katawedita pugala, is a child who recognizes their parents' kindness and repays it. However, we often remember our parents' kindness only on a designated day, such as the 12th of August or the second Sunday of May. On that one day, we may take our parents out for a meal or give them a gift. But during the other 360 plus days of the year, we may not think of their kindness at all. We may not call them, visit them, or ask about their happiness and suffering. Therefore, we should reflect on whether repaying our parents' kindness only once a year is truly appropriate. Have we taken an interest in their happiness and suffering? Have we asked what hardships they endured because of us? When we were children, we didn't understand the suffering we experienced, and we cannot remember much of it. But our parents remember. We can ask them what difficulties we faced as children and how they cared for us when we were young. In this way, we can recollect and understand how we should repay their kindness. We should also ask what suffering they are experiencing now, so that we can consider how to repay their kindness as much as we possibly can. When our mother carried us in her womb, she made aspirations, cherished hopes, chanted, meditated, and prayed that we would be born safely, free from danger, and with every part of our body complete and healthy. She worried about us and cared for us from the time we were still in her womb. Our father had to earn a living in order to care properly for our mother and the child she was carrying. Recollecting these things serves as a reminder. It awakens our mindfulness when we have become distant, when we no longer reflect, no longer think, and no longer consider how to repay our parents' kindness. Sometimes our parents have already given us a fair share of their wealth, while wishing to use the remainder to make merit. Yet we may think, I do not want them to spend their money on making merit. I want them to give it all to me, even though we did not earn that money ourselves. This is common among people of the newer generation. They think only of benefiting themselves because they lack morality and an understanding of the Dhamma. That is why we must return to studying the Dhamma and seek to understand it more deeply. Then we can learn how much suffering our parents endured for us and how much goodness they have done for us. When we were born, if no one had cared for us, we would have died. There would have been no one to feed us or give us water. We simply lay there, urinating and defecating, able only to cry out for someone to help us. We could not even crawl, let alone walk. It took time before we could crawl, before we could walk, and before we were able to go to school. Sometimes young children do not even want to go to school. They cry every day, and their parents have to endure a great deal. The parents struggle to dress them and prepare them for school because they fear that without education and knowledge, their children will grow up without wisdom and will not be able to manage their lives in the future. Sometimes the parents even wait outside the school until their child gradually adjusts, learns to go into the school independently, and no longer cries. The child is attached, to their father, their mother, their home, and their family. They do not want to go to school because they do not yet understand and have not yet developed the wisdom to see its value. It can be seen that we have developed mindfulness and wisdom because our parents supported us, encouraged us, and urged us to learn until we gained a profession, grew up, and became able to support ourselves. Only then could our parents feel at ease. But if a child is still unsettled in life, the parents will continue to worry about them. This is because they love all their children equally. However, their concern naturally remains focused on the child who is still unable to care properly for themselves, or who does not yet have a stable occupation. Therefore, we should recollect our parents' kindness, because everything we have received in this life is the initial capital they gave us. We did not obtain these things by ourselves. We received them from our parents, who raised us, made us strong, and helped us develop mindfulness and wisdom. In every lifetime in which our Buddha was born as a bodhisattva, he always showed gratitude and repaid the kindness of his parents. This virtue was never absent. In some lives, his father became so deluded that he even tried to kill his son. Because of wrong view, his father believed that doing so would lead him to heaven, yet the bodhisattva still forgave him. When his father was driven out of the city and stripped of his kingship, the bodhisattva followed him and continued to care for him well. This is gratitude and the repayment of kindness. When Venerable Ajahn Chah was living at Wat Nongpa Phong, he had a preceptor who was not particularly strict in maintaining good conduct. Nevertheless, Ajahn Chah led the monks and novices in paying respects to the preceptor, to care for him, to help sweep and clean there, and Ajahn Chah looked after him in every possible way. He set the example himself. Some of Ajahn Chah's disciples became fed up with the preceptor, but Ajahn Chah said, "This is my preceptor. He is like my father and mother. Even if he lacked morality, even if he drank alcohol or became intoxicated, he was still their parent. Should they abandon him?" He reminded the monks who had such thoughts. He also said that his preceptor was someone who liked to keep and hoard things. Sometimes he kept them until they were almost spoiled before giving them away, and sometimes he sold them off. Ajahn Chah knew all of this. But that was simply one aspect of his preceptor, the part which remained deluded. Venerable Ajahn Chah himself had become who he was because of this very preceptor. He always recollected the kindness of his preceptor. When we reflect on this, we see that, although the preceptor was not an arahant, he fulfilled the duty of ordaining Ajahn Chah. And later, when Ajahn Chah became an arahant, he repaid his preceptor's kindness exceptionally well. Likewise, Ajahn Chah encouraged his own mother to ordain as a Meichi, a white-robed nun. She trained in the practice as the first Meichi of Wat Nongpa Phong. This is an example that we can still see in the present day. Our perfectly self-awakened Buddha attained enlightenment, but his mother had already been reborn in a heavenly realm, residing in Tusita heaven. The Buddha then went to teach the Dhamma in Tawatingsa heaven. His mother came to listen to the Dhamma there, and together with many other devas, a great number attained stream entry. This was how he repaid the kindness of his mother. Likewise, throughout the many lifetimes in which he was a bodhisattva, he repaid such kindness to his parents. Let us therefore reflect on and recollect the virtues of the Buddha, the noble disciples of the Sangha, and even lay people whom we have known who possess this virtue of gratitude and the repayment of kindness. Let us take them as examples to remind and encourage our own hearts, so that we too may recollect the kindness of our parents and repay it as much as we possibly can. If at times we are still unable to repay their kindness, then for the time being we should cultivate equanimity. It is well known that when mothers grow old, they may no longer listen to anyone, insist on having things their own way, or spend money extravagantly. Such situations do happen. We should wait patiently and look for opportunities to help. If we are unable to help at a particular time, then we maintain equanimity while holding the intention that, when an opportunity arises, we will help them become free from suffering. We should continue to have loving kindness and love for them, because part of this body, or indeed this entire body, has come from them. When we love them, we are, in a sense, loving ourselves. When we hate them, we are also hating ourselves, because we are made of the same elements and are deeply connected. Therefore, Buddhism teaches us to live by the principle of gratitude and the repayment of kindness, knowing the kindness we have received and repaying it. Whatever assistance we can offer in terms of the four requisites, we should provide according to our ability. If we can introduce our parents to the Dhamma, that's even better. If our parents don't maintain the moral precepts, we should encourage them to do so. If they have not yet cultivated goodness, we should encourage them to make merit and offer alms to the monks. Sometimes we encourage them, but they still do not follow our advice. Yet there are also times when, simply because their son has ordained, and the parent misses them, they are inspired to offer alms and visit the monastery to make merit. Some parents who once drank alcohol have given it up after their son ordained because he practiced well and they followed his example. There are many cases like this. If we are women, we should likewise do our best to advise and encourage our parents and help them gain understanding so that they may have a refuge for their hearts. We must try to find skillful means. Whatever suffering they experience, if we can help, we should help. If we cannot help, then we set the matter aside for the time being. This is something we can reflect upon every day, remembering our parents' kindness, recalling how they helped us when we were children, and recollecting all that they did for us. Such daily recollection is itself merit and wholesome karma for us, because to their children, parents are like arahants and like Brahma gods. If someone harms their parents to the point of causing their death, that person will be unable to realize the Dhamma and will fall into Lokanta hell like King Ajatasattu. King Ajatasattu harmed his father, King Bimbisara, and caused his death. Although King Ajatasattu possessed great virtues in many respects and listened to the Buddha's Dhamma, he was unable to attain stream entry because that karma obstructed him. After death, he fell into Lokanta hell. Had he not killed his father, he would have attained stream entry. Such is the power of karma. He fell into wrong view through associating with Devadatta. Therefore, all of us who have faith in the Buddha's dispensation should make the effort to train and cultivate our hearts. We should share these teachings with those who have shown us kindness and repay their kindness. In doing so, our own hearts will become increasingly elevated and noble. On this National Mother's Day, may the power of our gratitude and our acts of repaying kindness become a source of strength and a supporting condition that protects all of you and all the lay supporters, bringing you prosperity and well-being. May the merits we have made in gratitude to our fathers and mothers bring you good health, the Dhamma eye to see the truth, freedom from all suffering, and the overcoming of every obstacle, great and small. May the virtues of gratitude and the repayment of kindness support each and every one of us in knowing and seeing the Dhamma. May you grow in blessings.